Okay, good to go.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining the meeting. I take it there are no apologies. And does anyone have any declaration of interest? That's no. The minutes are going to follow. We don't have minutes to review this evening. They're going to be following. And I have not received notification of any urgent business. So, good evening, Dennis. So that means we can go straight to the reason why we've called the meeting to discuss the Model Code of Conduct for councillors. And for that, I hand over to the monitoring officer.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think that everyone will have had an opportunity since the last meeting of reviewing the documents that I sent through. Thank you to those of you who've sent me written comments in advance of the meeting. What I thought it might be useful to do this evening is for the meeting to take the form of a discussion where everybody who wishes to participate can give me an indication of their views on the pros and cons of the new Model Code of Conduct, perhaps pointing out where they think it's better than the existing one, if they indeed think that that is the case, or similarly, if they think that there are areas where our current code of conduct is slightly stronger and we should retain that. And I can then build up a picture of what you would like to do as a standards committee, and I can take those recommendations to the council when I'm reviewing my constitution at the next meeting, because I'm certain that you will have lots of views that you want to share with me on the new code of conduct. So, Chair, if I can hand it back to you and you can facilitate that conversation, bringing members in as they wish to, and I'll note down everybody's comments.
Okay, so who would like, has anyone got questions or comments they wish to make? Thank you. So we've got Mr. Goodall, please.
Well, very briefly, I like the new model. I think that it's clear, it's unambiguous, and I like the way it requires personal accountability. And I would be in favour of us adopting it wholesale.
Thank you. Yes, I like the new model too, and I like the way it's written and the personability of it. Councillor Florence Dukes?
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. I like that third person element because it's more relatable and people can recognise situations and be able to adapt their behaviour or whatever accordingly. I'm hoping the monitoring officer can help because it mentions about further guidance is awaited in terms of the new code. Is there any news on that? I gather it was the end of March that was due. And also the other thing was with the government consultation or their review of the Committee for Standards in Public Life, I'm wondering if we should not wait for the outcome of that and then view the two in tandem, or whether you think it's solely a matter of either recommended or not the revised code of conduct, or whether the two need to be run in parallel. Because having looked at the draft of that and the proposals, there's quite a lot of things that overlap and would be useful to bring to the council. I don't know what your thoughts were on that.
We don't have any additional guidance as yet. I think the model code as it stands is fairly straightforward, and I'm not certain what extra guidance we can expect on that. The work of the Committee on Standards in Public Life, as you all know, is something that goes on the whole time, and in point of fact, the new Model Code of Conduct has been drafted as a response to the report that was reported to this committee. I think it was in January of 2019. And you'll see, for example, that the new Model Code has at the in the final pages, it's got a recap of the best practice guidance and recommendations that came out of the work of the committee. We fed back into the chair of the committee. We were all asked to compile a survey in autumn of last year to describe where we've got to in implementing all of the best practice recommendations. So in point of fact, this model code is, as I say, it's a response to the work that's already been done. So I don't think there would be any need to wait for the ongoing review to be reported back on. And I don't think that that's what the chairman of the committee anticipates that we will be doing in any event. It's certainly not the case that they're requiring everybody to adopt the new code, but I think there is the expectation that we at least have that discussion and give it consideration.
I'll just come back in on that, please, Chair. Yeah, as you say, there's no statutory requirement to adopt it. If I go back, if I refer back to the standards in public life, for instance, it makes recommendations there, what one of them being about an independent person, about the terms of the engagement, for want of a better word, that it should be a 2-year period, and maybe extended once, and that there should perhaps be consideration given to having 2 independent people, one that might overview complaints that come in, and another one that might sit on the standards committee, for instance, so that there's not that conflict there. I know I did ask, I think it was last year, about Mr. Goodall, how long he'd been on the council with us, and didn't get a definitive answer on that, because the code quite clearly says that I'm not suggesting that this is the case, but there needs to be perhaps a bit of a turnover of independent people for the good of the standards committee. So I didn't know whether we had any thoughts on that, for instance.
I think I'm not sure how easy it is to get people to stand in the independent, to sit on the independent seat. And I'm not keen on, I don't know if changing is a good idea or not, chopping and changing, because I think you could sit for 2 years and maybe hardly anything comes up. And if you have someone with experience, and I think as long as they're happy to sit and the committee are happy for them to sit and they've got experience, personally, I wouldn't put a time limit on it. That's my view.
I'm just saying this is a recommendation by the standards in public life, at the committee. That's what they would suggest in.
Yes, I realise. And I'm not sure if I agree with their suggestion, personally. Anybody else? Councillor Fletcher? Are you muted?
Like Graham, I like it as it is. I think it's very clear. Most of it we knew anyway, but we do need reminding from time to time of things. And I'm sure if further recommendations come further down the line, Angela will present them to us as she does with the council's own documents.
Yep. Waleed?
Okay, well, I think I agree with Dennis and most of the speakers. It is a much improved version, especially in terms of personal accountability and clarity. It's extremely clear. However, in those with regard to this kind of work, you can never ever satisfy with the final product. It's always, there is always in hindsight whether we could have done better, But this, as it is, I think it is a very, very good piece of work.
Yes, I agree. I think it's a good model to follow. And I know they say it can be reviewed annually, but we do that anyway, don't we? We do review our standards annually and change if necessary and if permissible. So, but does anyone have anything they don't like? Oh, sorry, Councillor Metcalf.
Yes, thank you. Yes, I agree. I like the clarity. The only question I have, and this is obviously being relatively recent, is there's one or two provisions in the old Code of Conduct, like single councillor decisions and that, and I don't know whether there's a history and a reason behind those, actually. Somebody said, oh, well, yeah, we had to do that because years ago, that kind of thing. So, maybe those with more experience can comment on things like that.
Okay. Angela, yes, thank you. You're muted, Angela.
I couldn't exactly hear what you were saying there, Councillor Metcalf. Were you saying that you were wondering why in the new code there is a reference to single councillor decision makers, or that there is not? Because it's in both. It's in our current one and it's in the new one. They're not highlighted in quite the same way. In the new model code, it just talks about an executive decision maker. And in our current code of conduct, we've got a dedicated heading that talks about decisions made by a single person and what will happen in those instances if there's a conflict of interest.
Thank you. That clarifies that then. It's just phrasing in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mrs. Trenery, you're mute, sorry.
Thank you, Chair. So, like everybody else, I think this is a really good document and a very lucid, very user-friendly document, and I certainly think it would be a good one to use. There's only one little query I have about it, and I don't know whether the monitoring officer could advise me about that, and that's in item 7.2. It talks about use of local authority resources, and then it says ensure that such resources are not used for political purposes unless that use could be regarded as likely to facilitate or be conducive to the discharge of functions of the local authority or the office to which I've been elected. Now, I can't imagine any use for political purposes that would really be conducive to the local authority. And I wondered really what your view was and whether you could imagine such a scenario and whether it's something we should have in there or whether we should remove the use for political purposes as there is in the present document.
Yeah, I think that there is too much room for ambiguity in the way that that's drafted, isn't there? And as you say, if something's sort of primarily political use, then that's going to be the answer. Because as you've alluded to, council property can never be used for political purposes at any time, particularly when we're in a pre-election period as we are now. So that's some wording that could be tightened up. I think that's a good suggestion.
Mm. Yeah. Anyone else? And it looks like we all favour the new code. Angela.
Thank you, Chair. Lowered my hand, but I didn't unmute myself. I just wanted to ask a couple of points, because in the code that we have at ESBC at the moment, we have a distinct section that deals with dispensations. Now, as a matter of law, I'm allowed to consider all of your applications to me for dispensation, but I think it's useful that we have it enshrined in our code of conduct at the moment, because it is there as a clear guide to everybody. Everyone has that expectation, everyone knows exactly what they can ask me for and how I will deal with that. So I was going to suggest to you that you give consideration to including that in whatever revised form of code that we decide upon. And the other two linked matters, linked to each other, not to that, go to the equality section. So in the new model code, we have quite a useful umbrella section talking about equalities issues. But of course, it's not that long ago that full council decided that we would incorporate in our own code of conduct both the IHRA working definition on anti-Semitism and also the APPG definition of Islamophobia. And we've got those highlighted in particular in our code. And it seems to me that given that that was a decision of full council that was taken in fairly recent times, it's probably sensible for you all to decide how you would wish to approach both of those things as well.
Right. Councillor Florence Dukes.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think that would need to be voted on again. If we're introducing a new code of conduct, then I think that would need to be voted on again, personally. The other thing is, are we implementing this in its entirety, i.e. all the best practice recommendations as well?
All the?
Best practice recommendations.
That's not the task that you're being asked to do tonight. The task that you're being asked to undertake is focused squarely on the wording of the code of conduct. The LGA document that I circulated to you has got the introduction that gives you the context within which this was drafted, and then it's got the reminder at the end of it of the best practice guidance, but we have no levers at present by which we would be implement. I mean, most of those are implemented in any case, and I think I told you last time that it's possible for you all to go and have a look at the results of the survey that I've talked about. That's on the MHCLG website. You can access the COSPL findings. But no, what you're being asked to do tonight is just to decide upon the wording of our code of conduct, and it's that task that you're undertaking.
Seems to be half baked then, because the Appendix C goes hand in hand with that, surely. Or is it just literally a change of wording that you're looking for to bring to council?
Sorry.
Who is that directed to?
Well, anyone that might answer it, frankly. What I'm saying is the Appendix C surely should go hand in hand with the revision of the model code of conduct.
The course that you're undertaking tonight is the task that you resolved to undertake when we last met. You are deciding upon how the code of conduct should be framed, what it should encompass, how it should be worded. This is a product of the best practice recommendations. This is what I was trying to explain to you earlier. I think you were alluding to the fact that the best practice recommendations and the work of the Committee on Standards in Public Life post-date this model code. That's not actually the case. They predate the model code, and the LGA embarked upon this exercise as one of the responses to those best practice recommendations. In the very vast majority of instances, the recommendations that came out from the work of the committee and were encompassed in those 15 recommendations have already been covered by East Staffordshire Borough Council. And it might be useful if you go and have a look at that website. You can have a look at my responses to the survey. So just to reiterate, you met a month ago. I asked you to decide whether or not you wanted to have a look at the new model code of conduct, compare and contrast that with our existing one. I gave you the month within which to do that, and the purpose of the meeting this evening is to decide what the code of conduct is going to look like and what it will do. The best practice recommendations don't form part and parcel of the code of conduct.
Councillor Fletcher.
I must say I'd miss the business that councils mustn't do anything which falls within the IHRA working definition of anti-Semitism or the one that referring to Islamophobia, and I think that would be a useful addition to the model. Yeah. As far as the best practices, there's nothing to stop us having as an appendix some ideas like best practice, case studies at some point.
Okay.
They wouldn't be part of the code of conduct, but they would be a useful addition when we consider things.
Yeah, that's a good point, I think. Councillor Metcalfe.
Thank you. I'm with Councillor Fletcher in regards wrapping in the Islamophobia and anti-Semitism issues. And again, I agree with Angela that just that little bit of definition on dispensation just does make sense, just to avoid any ambiguity.
Right. Seven. I think the best of both worlds would be adopt most of the wording of the new code and still keep some of the pieces in our current code of conduct that maybe don't come up in here. But I do think that the 7.2 points that Mrs. Chenery made, that is very ambiguous. So, I mean, can we pick and choose bits of one and bits of the other?
Absolutely, you can. And you can choose to... Some councils have chosen just to retain their own, and they've rejected the new code. So you've got utmost discretion with that. So one thing that I can do after the meeting is to draft a document that does encompass the elements of the old code that have been discussed this evening and include those within the new code, and I can circulate that for you all to have a look at, and that can form the basis of what then goes forward as part and parcel of the constitution review.
Well, for me, I think that would be really useful, and I'm not seeing any shaking. I think everyone would find that useful. Yeah, everyone's nodding. Thank you. So, does anyone else have any comments they wish to make? Anything they don't like? Councillor Florence Dukes.
Yeah, just finally. So, in reality, the parish councils don't have to adopt this. So, they could work from their own code of conduct. How would that then relate in terms of us as a standard committee adjudicating on complaints and so on? If, for instance, the parish council operate their own code of conduct and we adopt this one with some minor alterations or some adaptations, would that not be a little bit confusing? I'm just thinking ahead, really, as to where that would leave us as a standards committee.
Angela.
Thank you, Chair. That actually represents the status quo. Each parish council has their own code of conduct at the moment. It's I think that probably in about 60% of the cases of parishes within East Staffordshire, they do follow the borough council, but that's a matter of their choice. They don't have to. And there's probably about 40% who've adopted the NALC code of conduct. In point of fact, though, the chief executive of the Staffordshire Parish Council Association contacted me yesterday to let me know that they are encouraging and working with all of the parishes within the borough with a view to them adopting the new model code of conduct. and he was interested to know what we would be doing in the borough, and also interested to know whether we would support the parish councils in the work of adopting the new model code. And I explained to him that his email to me was particularly timely, given that you've got this meeting this evening. So I'm going to update him again after today to let him know what you have decided to do.
I think everyone tries hard to uphold those principles of public life. Wouldn't it be great if everyone did it all the time? So I get the feeling then from that we like the new code, we like the wording, we're happy, we would like to adopt it, but with certain items maybe not, or differently worded, like that 7.2, and certain items in our current code of conduct to remain so. Councillor Sylvester, and then Councillor Florence Dukes.
Thank you. I was just going to come back on the previous point. I mean, surely if the local council has its own code of conduct which is different to ours, surely we've got to judge it when it comes in front of us on their code of conduct and not on ours. I thought that would be fairly straightforward. Surely that must be the way.
Angela, if you want to reply, thank you.
You're absolutely right, Councillor Sylvester. That's exactly what happens.
Thank you.
Councillor Florence Dukes.
I think I've lost my point. Oh yeah, it was to do with, well, how going forward are we going to know collectively what bits to keep in and what bits not to keep in? So you're going to circulate something, Angela, that you think would be apt, because unless we've got the two side by side and we're going through them to say, well, let's keep this point, let's get rid of that point, or let's elaborate on this point, how are we going to conclude? And I'm just also wondering, is that our responsibility as a standards committee? Surely would perhaps not a member briefing be more suitable to discuss it? It just seems to be a task that I don't think us as a standards committee should necessarily be undertaking, that it should be a wider consultation and perhaps sliding.
Mm-hmm. I find the two not that dissimilar actually. It's just maybe worded, the wording is different, but the principles seem the same to me. Angela?
Thank you very much, Chair. So as a result of the conversation this evening, the consensus seems to me to be that we are, as a group in favour, or you are as a group in favour of adopting the new model code of conduct. We will tighten up the wording at 7.2 to address the ambiguity in the use of council resources for political purposes to remove that danger. We will include what we currently have in place, the IHRA working definition of anti-Semitism and the APPG definition of Islamophobia, and we will retain what the ESBC model current code of conduct has to say on the question of dispensation, so that will be added in as well. But nothing else has been alluded to this evening. I think I've got the comprehensive list. The duty to monitor and review the constitution is actually something that resides with me as monitoring officer, but it makes sense when we are looking to update the model code in the format, because you're quite right, Chair, it's not the substance of it, it's the form and tone, and as Mr. Goodall said at the beginning of the meeting, it's the fact that there is this personal accountability that is front and centre. So I think it's appropriate that I involved you in the process of doing this, And then, of course, it will go to full council when all members are asked to adopt the constitution at the annual council meeting. So I don't think that there's any need to have a member briefing over and above that. I think that the work that you're doing will be sufficient. And of course, the two group leaders will be fully aware of what's going on in this process as well.
Okay. Anybody disagree with that?
No.
No. Does anyone have anything further to add or ask? No. So on the crazy that Angela just gave us, is that, are we happy? That is how we're going to go ahead. We're going to adopt in principle the new code of conduct with some changes in wording on the points just mentioned and the areas in the current one that we can keep. Well, everything that Angela just mentioned really is a great summing up. So do we have to formally vote on that, Angela, or?
I think for the purposes of form, yes, you can propose that and have it seconded in the usual way. Just one slight correction, you won't be adopting that code. It's going to be, you're recommending that I include it in my update when my report goes to council at the annual council meeting.
Right, yeah. Okay, recommending that we include it in the update. That's right. So can I have the proposer? Thank you, Councillor Fletcher. And a seconder? Councillor Sylvester, thank you. And do you want a show of hands, being as there's just a few of us, Monica? Will that do? A show of hands, those four?
Yeah.
All those four.
Sorry, Chair, just recap what it is we're voting for. We're voting to recommend that.
We're recommending the inclusion of the new code of conduct as an update to our current code of conduct. So we're going to recommend the inclusion, and there are going to be, Angela was going to send us some areas where we're changing the wording, like that item 7.2, and also some where we're going to keep certain aspects of our current code of conduct. But it's more to do with the assimilation and wording of the new one that I think we're going to recommend we adopt over the current one.
So just suggest, Angela, that the changes you do in a different colour so that it's easy for us to...
I'll do it in track changes to make it readily identifiable, yeah.
Thank you.
So today, then, we're voting to say that we would like those new recommendations included in our and updated in our current code of conduct.
So if you want to go back to the vote now, Chair, that would be
right. I'm going to abstain simply because I want to see what it is.
Quite yet, Councillor Florence Duke. So I think that the Chair had just asked for all those in favour to
yes.
That in the usual way.
So all those in favour?
To make it clear, I'll do a name vote, Councillor.
All right, then. Thank you, Monica.
Right. Councillor Killeran.
Four.
Councillor Denise Lawrence.
Against.
Councillor Metcalfe.
Four.
Councillor Sylvester.
Four.
And Councillor Fletcher.
Four.
That's carried, Chair.
Thank you, Monica.
Thank you all. I'll get something drafted up in the next few days and send it through to you, just so that you've got that as your aid memoir. And it will be incorporated when I bring my report through in the usual way at the annual council meeting.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone have anything else they wish to say?
Chair, only that I can't see how we can vote on something when we've not actually physically seen what it is we're voting on. It just seems bizarre.
I thought we were voting on the on that new.
Yeah,
I turned it off now.
Changes to it. So until we see the changes, how do we know what we're voting on? Is my point. I'm willing to vote on it once I see it in its entirety, but to vote on a speculative document, I don't think is the right thing to do.
I think we were voting to just, that was the culmination of this evening's meeting, and that's we'd agreed that was the way forward. Then Angela's going to send the changes round, and then I presume we would still have time to make changes, or no, we wouldn't, no. So we voted to adopt the new model of the Councillor Code of Conduct with certain changes, which Angela will write to us all on, like model 7, like point 7.2. But on the whole, we voted to adopt this new code. Councillor Fletcher?
Yeah, just, I don't think Councillor Forrest-Jukes needs to worry too much, because we more or less know what's going into it, and we're approving the principle of it, and it's going to come before full council, and if there's anything you don't like, that will be the time to say. What, Angela, no?
Angela?
Sorry, I can't put my virtual hand up. I seem to be the co-host. Yes, there won't be any surprises. I've already summarised your conversation this evening, so yes. It's going to be the new model code of conduct. It's going to have the tightened up section 7.2. It's going to have our current section on dispensations. It's going to have our current section on the obligation to abide by the IHRA working definition on anti-Semitism. And finally, it's going to incorporate our current obligation to abide by the IPPG definition of Islamophobia, so councillors don't fall foul of that. That's exactly it. That it's no more and no less than that. It's exactly what you've discussed this evening.
And I think, personally, that there's not a lot of difference. It is just more the assimilations, the actual things that we carry out, and the codes that we try to abide by are still there, but it's worded differently. I think it's worded in a way that's maybe more understandable for a lot of readers, but I don't see too much. That was the word I was trying to remember earlier, dispensation. I couldn't remember the word, but yeah, I don't see a big change in what we will do as a standards committee and in the code of conduct that we will all try to follow, because we all try to follow it now. The seven principles, they're there now. I just think it's more of a tidying up, polishing off, updating, and we do update our codes as and when required. Okay. Anybody else would like to add anything? No. In that case, then, I'll bring the meeting to a close. Thank you all very much for your time and for attending and reading all the documents. Thank you, Angela. Thank you, Monica. And thank you, everyone. And see you all soon. Take care.
Bye.
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 Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.